when I started
partying on the night, speed.
When I started taking heroin, when I was 14, my mother started giving it to me.
And you've
I
got it. And if it really sucks, we'll fix it.
There's always that.
Attention, America.
I don't mind you coming here. My mind.
I'm for the medicine.
There we go. At last.
Yep.
10 minutes, we'll start the show.
So K-Rob, this is K-Rob's show, by the way, on Facebook.
It's mine!
We'll fix it.
There's always that.
If
that was really nice of Facebook to give you your own Facebook show.
Yeah,
I know.
Keep it up, you'll be like me, Facebook gold.
I petitioned and petitioned, and not
you know,
for that though.
Yeah, this.
But the they like if you petition, they put you in a little category. And this
the
guy
Twitter shows they're only 124 seconds long.
Yeah, but man,
this is my show. What the hell?
This is the Puzzling Evidence Show.
Oh, hi. I thought it was our show.
Or if you just plain like me, I can.
They did try to get us to come in.
They send giant Pacific Rim robots to come and kill the monsters. We had to create monsters.
Of radio.
M-O-R-V.
In order to end the show, you had to create more shows.
Yes. It's the only way to drown the show is to drown it.
Full volume.
More show.
Yeah.
Show must be so big, only can drown the ocean. A huge distant planet.
To kill the show, you must become the show.
Yep, that's why I have this necklace of show ears.
Don't think you should show that to the CEO.
You're supposed to be under the headphones.
But well, I mean, as long as you're activated, it.
Well, on the Puzzling Evidence Show,
what
is
what do you need, Carrie? Hi.
I need to turn off the radio.
Puzzling Evidence.
We're going over to the dwarves' house for dinner.
Dwarves. V for Vendetta, I think.
V for Dwarves.
Hey, is that guy's secret name Lies? Is that it?
Yeah.
Lies is here. And,
thanks for that. It was a secret.
Yeah, Bob. Do you hate radio?
There we go.
Why do you hate radio?
Puzzling Evans. Hey, you'd love this.
Physicists and the mystics say there's no such thing as time. God is now and everywhere. Why's it so hard to find? I wanna be the guy who lives in the moment, not so lost in my mind. So I guess my show starts now. My show starts now. Grandma said it don't matter where we go to or come from. She said, worry about what you're made to do, not what you're made of. They say we're made of chaos. I say we're made of love, and that means our show starts now. Our show starts now.
Oh, okay. Hey, hey.
Yeah, that's can we get out of here?
Yeah.
It's like, no, you got it.
No,
you
got
to ask questions. Shoot yeah. Biggie guns at them until they ask questions. Hey, ask me a question.
One time, we Tinglers. Poked a soft spot in the ceiling and a million wasps flew out.
I wish we could have tinglers. That'd be cool. The radios would get fried and we would scream and little faces, like hundreds of faces would zoom at you.
I did miss that. Show us on the mouse where the Disney company touched
weird,
you.
Yeah. The weird mouse touching thing.
Can we get some water in here? Sponge.
Is this a good show now?
Just
Dr. Feely.
Point and click where the bad thing happened.
Yeah. Just the outline right there on the screen.
Yeah.
It's a touch screen. When Go ahead, touch it.
When you click on it, a little flower will appear there.
Yeah. No, I'm not doing
to
that.
To hide the shame.
Because
Yay,
only.
Puzz FX.
Well, that's all right then. If I get a flower out of it.
Yeah, that's puzzling evidence. Yeah, Bob. Do you hate radio?
Hold your breath for a better day, and you'll never learn how to breathe.
Yes, radio.
You're
you guys are paranormal. You guys are awesome.
You can check out RadioValencia.fm, and there are so many awesome shows here every single day. There's a million shows. You can check out RadioValencia.fm, and there's so many awesome shows here every single day. There's a million shows.
That's why your show starts now. The show starts now.
Me because I have so much equipment.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah, it's great.
Relapsed into laughter and inconsequential behavior.
These
they're still capable of.
we can help you with that.
This is a true ministry of restoration.
And becoming unable to take any part in the operation. In fact, he has to be withdrawn from the exercise a few minutes later. Section 2 starts to advance to ready. The troops have lost their air of urgency, and many men are laughing.
Just remember when a dream.
Meanwhile, radio communication of the beaches has become difficult, if not impossible. Men with no specific task.
My experience in these hearing difficulties represent typical noise situations. God with us. That should be a real encouragement to all of us. That should be a real encouragement.
Just remember till you're home again, you belong to me.
Penny slot. Yep. Coin slot. Sure.
Wild, Don, wild.
You could have a chafed coin slot. Big line of low.
Here he goes.
Use your McDonald's.
Lost him.
Coffee stir.
Lost her.
What it's meant. In the
morning, I don't know. We should just leave the whole show to Puzzling Evidence.
Yeah, I think you can do the whole thing.
Booping and booping.
That's right. Just the tip.
Come over here. Get plug one.
You can take that for plug one.
Yeah, nice little table for you there. Get all the things that are going to be left.
Oh, wait.
It's all happening here.
Yeah. Oh.
Good night, Radioland.
What?
Good
night.
Good
night. Now he's going to play Who Did It. Yeah. We got so close. Oh, ready? Turn down the monitors out there.
In this primitive show.
I know. How do we start this thing up again?
You pulled the choke?
You can have over here. You can have this.
Well, I'm not sure if this thing is on.
I noticed
you. You know, we drilled this well to set off a nuclear bomb as a test. We never used it.
There we go. Careful. Raise that up there.
Put the plus.
All the equipment still works in here. By some miracle. In fact, including this one.
You know what?
what the last thing was that Jackie Kennedy said to John?
Did I tell you that tonight's show is really
a response is not an option.
All too soon.
Would you like
all too soon.
Would you like to take us now? Would you an option? Would you like to take a survey?
It's just
would you
gone
like to
go.
Take a survey? Would you like to take
away?
Would you like to take away?
Show's gone gold. It's molten and poured right into your brain while you're asleep. Because we got 100 decibel shoes on the web.
That means that it sold over 500,000 copies.
Lieutenant, we do that joke every weekend.
You get the message!
Damn it, that almost hit me.
Would you like to take a survey?
You take a warning shot for the... She's wearing 100 decibel shoes. 100 decibel shoes. She's gonna use it on you.
You'd like to try your call again?
Yeah, these are some of the lyrics that I'm gonna,
please, God damn it.
Is it an imitation or implied?
Yeah,
your call again.
Oh.
Just got on those show shoes. You'd like to try your call again? Would you like to take a survey? Please hang up.
Whoa. Makes me feel like Caveman Jack.
Right off is a variety of information. Please try your call again. Please try your call again. Please try your call again. Please try your call again.
Coming back.
Please hang up.
Slamming through, don't F word with Razorback. Stepping out, you'll feel a hell on your back. Blood ties to you. He makes sure life ain't for you and it's you.
Phillips 1205.
Would you like to take a survey? Her call is important.
Try to rob us, but it's not easy.
Thinking about you all day, baby. Waiting on that sun to go down.
On the hard trucking radio country
we
world.
That's where I've been all week, except for the northern part of the country.
It's blue jeans, boots, and baseball hats.
I was at last week's show.
There was a show.
I was there. You just didn't see me.
I said we had to do the show.
I was the show. You just didn't hear the show. There was you got to be the show, okay? Because
Damage Incorporated.
Did you get it? How many times do I have to play it?
We had to do the show.
Come on, y'all.
I can't help it. I'm always here.
We had to do the show.
Get up, get up.
I'm
doing a broadcast.
How maladroit you can get.
We choose to out.
What's your problem? What's on your mind? Your lady evergreens fall by the wayside. Check the program, it's
down
the line. We've got your problems, but I've got mine. Lost transmission inside your mind. What's on your radio? What's on your radio?
It's time for the truth.
And it is optional.
Live. Okay. I support Proposition 666. Puzzling evidence supports conspiracy-sponsored Proposition 333. The same conspiracy responsible for making you work your lousy life away at your meaningless job. Don't be fooled by puzzling evidence through slick negative campaign techniques. I saw the money change hands. I was there when the plans were drawn up, and only I had the courage to lie to you, the KPFA public, about it. And only I have the brass cojones to tell you now that your vote for me is worthless. Remember, vote often, vote lies.
Sponsored by the demon code. No plugging of show.
Yeah. No, it's the barcode that's tattooed on your wrist that you'll need to get into the station.
Oh, yeah. That'll heal you of all radio disease.
Well.
Yeah, because in the future, that's how they'll be licensed.
Square hair.
I finally made it. Where's your thing, man?
All right, Hal Robbins.
The lightning bug saw it.
Who has just walked in?
Rumored to just
It's coming from the moon.
To follow a process.
There's no way to stop it.
The lightning bug and my rock and roll invasion of Earth is underway. Look at them. They'll be rocked and rolled. They'll all shake and dance.
You're a genius, oh terrible master. There's no end to your evil.
Lunch, 1 hour.
May I have information, please? Would you give me a telephone number of Arthur Curtis, 22437 Ventnor Road, in Wilden Hills, please?
Ha 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 ha!
Or touch on.
So the next guy that's coming up is he's got this really great haircut, I'm noticing.
Select tight, hold on tight.
Quietly sit.
And pull on the...
In a room without fear.
Oh, hi.
Hi, show without fear.
Stare right in the mirror while the world becomes clear.
Do you feel show without fear?
I don't know.
To dance in precision.
Well, if you're on the show, you have no fear.
Just like this.
I just wonder where I am.
Baby...
I'm in a club playing the piano. Drunk out in front, coughing his way to death.
Wondered whatever became of me.
I'm doing a show in San Francisco. I'm living past on the after Over the Edge. KPFA, KPFA, San Francisco.
WKRP.
Do you see cream corn on that?
Got kind. No,
it's okay. Since we basically have nothing and have made it.
Hello, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the ships.
You can't learn this method
in Dr. Hallendahl.
It's a process of emotional
to you
learning.
Now,
live from the city of art and innovation.
The live one where it's
the hour of Slack is a going concern.
Everyone gets on stage.
We're seriously concerned if
you are not achieving the Slack,
which is your natural birthright.
Here are the similarities.
You were born with original Slack.
What? Nothing.
What are you talking about? I didn't see that coming.
Your response is not anonymous.
This is K-Rock Plus the Evidence, WBN, Coast to Coast, all night of Plus the Evidence show.
I'm John, your response is not anonymous. Would you like to take a survey?
Oh, yeah.
Would you like to take a survey? If you'd like to try your call, if you'd like to try your call again, you're fine. Let's take a survey. Would you like to take a survey? Would you like to take a survey?
Easily
the best over all the like to try. Would you like to take a survey? Would you like to take a survey? Would you like to take a survey? A survey?
Wow, it's turned out those stupid effects. Now they're dumb.
The time for a monster, Wolfman Jack and Nate.
The station we're listening to. Station Crane Corp.
150,000 watts.
Aliens like that kind of power.
Here's the next galaxy.
No, don't try to call 848-4425. It's not going to work.
Is there a telephone in here?
No, that's
what... Come on.
There's no phone in here. You need your cell phone. Come on, man. Don't throw it.
Jerry, why don't you listen to me for 1 minute?
Just say that he was on last week.
I don't know what's the matter with you.
Yeah, come on. Do it. Come on, man. It'd be cool. Don't narc
call
us out.
Let's make it fast. Can I use a stage phone?
No, of course not. If he finds out, there's no telling what he's going to go on. Go on, quick.
Damn, yeah.
Jerry, let's go to your dressing room.
Where's the nearest phone?
Jerry.
My name is Arthur Curtis.
What?
No, this won't hurt K-Rob.
This show is bringing tears to my eyes.
This is 2 hours.
This demo comes to a complete stop.
By the way, everyone, there was a tiger that didn't exist.
Not a tiger.
Now, if any of you have dug down through the menus of JFK jokes, you would know what Karen Carpenter is talking about. It's a talk show in which, how did JFK die? And the answer is, a tiger did it. I know, it's pretty hard to find, but it's out there.
You know what the next thing was?
Just leave it. I can
copy.
Jackie
Kennedy said to John.
No. Look, come on. They're storytellers. You're going to bum them out. They're going to be all sad. Can you make Dr. Penny roll over and crush your phone?
I don't think she's listening. I think it's pretty much you. He has a radio show on KPFA.
Puzzling evidence.
In the house.
It is a negative which will always repel
good and attract undesirable circumstances.
This is no way to listen to the radio.
Plug that.
Hey!
Thanks.
Want to thank the folks for another installment of Puzzling Evidence. The
all it's like all night long.
Please. We do it every day.
Hey, Rob, listen to you right now.
Yeah. Hey, Rob, come on.
Yeah.
Hey, Rob, still in the
okay, thank you.
And, of course, the most important right now is KPFA.org.
KPFA.org. So you'll send in some money pronto.
But, you know, this is not the best radio show to give your money on, but it is the best radio show to say was the reason why you gave your money.
Whatever show inspired you to send the money, please say it was us. That did it.
Right, because we are really bad about figuring out how to take your money, but we're really good at figuring out how to take credit for taking your money.
Yeah.
So you have
Puzzling Evidence. It's called Puzzling Evidence. By Puzzling Evidence. Starring Puzzling Evidence.
Wait, what is this?
Tyler Perry's Puzzling Evidence.
And last
minor
week,
players on it, like Philo and Hal.
Yeah, last week lacked Puzzling Evidence.
That's right.
And it was a total cluster punch because nobody had a license forcing Bud Good to stand in.
That's right.
Bud Good had to stand in for Puzzling Evidence.
That's right. In a friend
frenzied set of phone calls from Julie Lake.
What's wrong with you? Yeah.
I was caving.
How could you say
I was staying in ranger stations. I was visiting monuments of arts that you will never go to.
That's what they call having a date? That's pretty good.
I had a young lady with me.
Caving.
Caving. And I went to the Tule County Fair and I went to Crater Lake and I did all kinds of fun things that you will never do.
Yeah, we can't because...
Something about a bottom of a silo? That's all I got.
They're going to miss.
Yes.
I'll never...
Yes, that's the bottom of a silo.
I went to an old... You can look this up on Google.
I will.
It's called Hawksback Road Nuclear Communication Facility.
Yeah, I know it. But anyway, of course I'll never go there because that's not even going to be California soon. It's going to be the Republic of Jefferson very soon.
Republic of Jefferson, thank you.
Oh, no, get rid of the Star Spangled Banner. It's not
the best cave there.
Not part of the United States. Republic of Jefferson. Try and find their Star Spangled Banner while you're in there. Looking it up.
We have to stand up before each movie.
Yeah, I think this is it.
For this.
Okay, I'm not even sure who played Jackie in Parkland. I cannot find her at all in the cast list.
So yeah, look up. You know where they have the cast list perfectly? It's under the Parkland Wikipedia.
Okay.
Go there.
Is your review out yet?
No, the movie doesn't come out until like first week of
my October. Review is ready. Okay. I can talk all I want about it. No embargo here.
Really, they embargoed the country after Jeff K.
The whole country has to wait until October 2nd because of this.
And...
Wow, what a day.
And the MODOKs, we took care of them.
Yeah, good. Did you see Captain Jack while you were up there?
I did. I went and ate at Captain Jack's restaurant, and I hung out at Captain Jack's stronghold with the MODOK Ranger.
I've been in that stronghold, and believe me, I would never go in there with 1,000 soldiers.
Yeah, that was what they said they needed.
People don't know what we're talking about.
No, and it's okay.
Nor do they care.
Because the Captain Jack restaurant is so overpriced, they don't want to go there.
Right, I know. Like, you know, the burgers, they're like 6 ounces. They ran out of meat. They were starving.
Procedure, Captain.
So they walked right past the little soldiers to free
Jay. No Jay.
To the future.
Standard procedure, Captain.
Which did not include them at all. Sean Shin said we should not fight the soldiers. There are too many.
Get some sleep.
Okay. And here they come.
Here they come down Main Street. And the soldiers.
The soldiers. And the little jet planes. That's right. Let's go back to the beginning. 1964. We can believe our leaders. Edward J. Epstein writes the best book on the crime.
This is some book. I love Blade.
Love Blade?
It's my favorite show. It really is.
Was that Jackie Kennedy said to John?
Don't do it.
You know what the wife's name
was that Jackie Kennedy?
No, he doesn't.
No. It's no.
Just best.
My next, he started buffering.
Got to get some sleep. 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 Got to get some sleep.
Hello, man.
The extremely sensitive drug test that all of you take at the airport.
Oh,
your clothes.
Oh, really?
Here it is. Here's the extremely sensitive drug test we're going to administer right now.
That is hilarious.
Show extender.
This year roasting. Surf all night. I just
thought I'm wound up all heavy.
Here we go. Okay, just unwind them right now.
You got him wound up on him.
But I want to say,
is it about the hospital?
Now he's just a crazy mockery of a man.
Spoiler. Sorry, I can't say anything. Review embargo. Sorry, my bad.
Yeah. By the way, have I said any? Have I broken any of the
all of
viewers' friend code of conduct?
Yes, all of them.
Yeah. Okay,
when you broke out your phone / recording device in a press screen.
Storytellers make a press. Bring that in and rub the sad love on the guys. Right at midnight.
What? Oh, here?
I think so.
Sure.
Yeah, storytelling. You know what really upset me about you not doing Puzzling Evidence last week?
Which was?
Is that you had, for the weeks before that, as each week's show we did,
gets closer to the event.
And you kept saying, oh, I'm going to use this on my show. Oh, this is going to be, wait till I edit this down for my show.
We're still waiting.
And then, building right up.
This is the saddest part, is I have to spend all day tomorrow finishing the Kale show. That's how long ago I am.
best radio station in the Midwest, KALE.
The young woman who was with me was completely flipped out when I told her that no Skrillin didn't show up at KALE.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Oh, by the way, no more plugs.
Et tout français sur l'autre jour. Reste juste la langue.
KPFA. Wow. KPFA, yeah. Who cares about them? They got like a budget.
J'ai pu la couper.
It's some kind of.
Vérité, ne s'est ni à jouer la musique ni à danser.
But you're on it. You're on it right now. How can you talk about something that you're on right now that way?
Nobody wants to hear talk about Brian the show Terry I'm on while I'm on it.
Where's Frank Chu? He better show up the show.
Yeah, does he just still make appearances?
He does.
Well, and, the problem is he has people.
He's got gamblers.
Yeah. But he should show up. We need those old effects to happen on occasion.
All the cocaine that the Pokesmont guys could have. And then those little tiny bottles of champagne that you get in your hotel room.
And then there's
that little refrigerator where the Snickers bar is $5. A tiny little bottle of champagne. Sparkling wine, usually.
Yeah.
Freshenet. Yeah. All right. I'm out of here. You know, I don't know, man.
Yeah, I know. I know what you mean.
Yeah. Until next week.
I'm just gonna watch his old movies.
He's always a great guy, not a hard actor.
All right, make sure you let the dog in, and you let the cat out. Buying, yeah, why not?
And then it would just be an automatic thing, you know.
Cosmos.
Over the edge and said, "Can you over the edge my show?" Then suddenly realize it's not over the edge. And the sad part is, it really isn't responsibility.
Yeah. I got to make sure we make it in the studio because there's like super, super anal retentive DJ follows us in the morning. Wrap all the cords. Make sure there are no bottle caps on the floor.
Oh, yes.
If you want to travel,
do everything. Not. They must really hate us.
Why do you say that? They love us.
We're the bad boys of radio.
I think about that. It's like that's part of the fun.
Let's tie all the headphones together. let's wrap all the cords around all the headphones and then leave them in the middle of the soundboard.
All right. That's my kind of show.
All right. Bad boys.
Yeah, but I think you guys are. Everybody else plays by the rules, right? They don't do clubs.
What are you rebelling against?
Well, I know I'm gonna be the man who gets drunk next to you. And if I have a, well, I know I'm gonna be the man who's ever empty.
They've missed me as much as I miss them. With the radio.
She needs a carburetor, a set of plug wires. She's riding me around on four ball tires. The wipers don't work and the horn don't blow, but there ain't nothing wrong with the radio. Crossing my back dash, a little loving dog watching everybody pass. Dual antennas ripping in the wheel. Oh, there ain't a country station that I can't tune in. She ain't a Cadillac and she ain't a Roll, but there ain't nothing wrong with a radio.
Thing about it, the thing that just really gripes me.
What?
Here it comes. If he doesn't shape up and find out where it's at, I'll probably have to support them.
I saw your eyes, I felt the best.
passion inside. Don't you hear my voice in the night?
Sun, original umsprang, lone ere the constellations sang their youthful paean unexcelled. Bright in the first completion of their choir, their fullness ere the hand of death outthrust broke that continuousness of younger fire. Burns yet thine earliest star, or sank its flame ere came Aldebaran and Algebar, or stout Orion rose, fulfilled with all his starry frame, ere any world that now treads to a sun unchilled might look upon its flaming brow, or note its fall from paths of light uplifted to where, within the irremediable pit, all suns dethroned have drifted to sunken paths unlit. Have all its brethren found that place where iron, rentless shadows hem, seeing the ruinous maw, as when the falling titans saw the gulf of Tartarus opening under them like visible oblivion for the space ere they were one with it? Poetry of Clark Ashton Smith, a significant poem which I recommend to reciters of poetry such as myself. That one poem will do you a world of good when you recite it. You may be pleased at the results.
One of the things I love about my role here at KPFA is I get to hear directly from you, our listeners. My name is Italina, Donor Relations Manager here at the station, and I get to hear things like, thank you for being here for our community. And we get to be here thanks to loyal listeners like you. So help us continue to be here by making a meaningful donation today. And know there is more than one way to donate. You can make a qualified charitable distribution from an IRA. You can donate stocks. You can even add KPFA as a beneficiary. Thank you for being really thoughtful about this. Thank you to our monthly sustainers and to our generous one-time donors. Donate at kpfa.org or email members@kpfa.org if you have a question about donating in other ways or if you'd like to increase your monthly donation. My name is Italina, here for Community Powered Radio, here for you.
Lettucey.
It happens all the time like this. Somebody, that one person will be right there. And she was just crying. All right. We were getting ready to sing. All right. I hadn't even got the words out. She was already in it. And her eye, she was not too far away, but I just had to tell her to come here. And I held her hand and sang. And I said, see, I had a bad day. I've been performing and I got it all out. And I forget what I do. See, you better remember.
Right.
This is why you're doing it. You belong here to do this. This is your calling, is to ignite something in people, to make them, let them know that they belong too. It's bigger than me. It always has been bigger than me.
KPFA.
storytelling for social change.
This is KPFA, KPFB in Berkeley, and 88.1 KFCF in Fresno.
And less obliquely than that, I will not speak about that particular poem. However, it has been known to generate warmth in sympathetic hearts, which is, of course, one of the reasons one performs anything, hoping to make a connection as close as intimacy allows, and perhaps even with the flavor of human love. But please pay attention. We need you to contribute your pocket change or whatever you can spare to radio. And where are the yearning teenagers? How can you have a show without yearning teenagers? And something clicked. Not that I give two doodles or two farts in a bottle for teenagers, but yearning, yes. If you want anyone to be interested in what you create, fictional lines and so on, you've got to show that your characters want something and show what it is. And then the audience will be interested because they'll be interested in whether or not they get what they want, whether they're frustrated, how close they come, all of that. It creates a method of engaging with the audience, while the rest of the show, I felt, was just name-dropping and clever rhymes. Oh, by the way, when in Hollywood they call your work clever, that's the kiss of death. It means they're never, ever going to support it. Clever doesn't put butts in seats, according to the received wisdom in Hollywood. So, the yearning, not the teenagers. We must know what the yearning is, because everyone yearns for something. Everybody wants something. Even those who conceal it will eventually reveal it. And that's me catechism. And less obliquely than that, I will not speak about that particular poem. However, it has been known to generate warmth in sympathetic hearts, which is, of course, one of the reasons one performs anything, hoping to make a connection as close as intimacy allows, and perhaps even with the flavor of human love. But this is the Ask Dr. Hal Show, live on radio. Please pay attention. 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 And where are the yearning teenagers? How can you have a show without yearning teenagers? And something clicked. Not that I give two doodles or two farts in a bottle for teenagers, but yearning, yes. If you want anyone to be interested in what you create, fictional lines and so on, you've got to show that your characters want something and show what it is. And then the audience will be interested because they'll be interested in whether or not they get what they want, whether they're frustrated, how close they come, all of that. It creates a method of engaging with the audience, while the rest of the show, I felt, was just name-dropping and clever rhymes. Oh, by the way, when in Hollywood they call your work clever, that's the kiss of death. It means they're never, ever going to support it. Clever doesn't put butts in seats, according to the received wisdom in Hollywood. So, the yearning, not the teenagers. We must know what the yearning is, because everyone yearns for something. Everybody wants something. Even those who conceal it will eventually reveal it. And that's me catechism.
In the mystic undeath of that also affects Lovecraftian creatures like
what? The problem is there's no volume control available the way this is now wired. So I'm going to cut it off again. We can't have music, but we can have the conversation we're having.
I was going to say something.
Yes, about the prehistoric world of 100 million years ago.
That's more your department.
I
usually much more contemporary than that.
What time were you thinking of?
Maybe 100 seconds ago.
100 priceless, irreplaceable seconds.
Seconds, yes.
Gone down the memory hole.
That's right. We were just before we were talking about bed sores for bedridden dinosaurs.
Oh, yes.
And, you know, they're unable to get up out of bed for, what, hundreds of millions of years.
And somebody else does it for them eventually.
They have
a lot of confusion.
Right. They have a kind of hospice for aging dinosaurs.
But no privacy.
No privacy whatsoever.
After they're in their final place. But before that, they slumber in boxes
under their
stone matrix. No, in drawers in the back of museums that haven't prepared them.
Oh, that's right. And then gradually they get frustrated with the bad management in the upper echelon of the curatorship of these museums and assemble their own interventionist dinosaur exhibits.
Wouldn't that lead right into your visit to Stang World?
I visited Stang World.
Not exactly that. Interventionist Dino Museum.
Well, I went to the Creationist Dinosaur Museum and saw its enormous 20-foot-long model of Noah's Ark all cut away, showing where the dinosaurs were stored. At one point, you can see Japheth, who's looking down with some forced amusement at a puppy dog that has opened a bag containing a snake, and the snake has come out. And further on back, you can see the kitchen with an entirely inadequate food supply. But Noah's Ark had some technology, which is interesting, some sort of water purifier, which takes the whole front and back of the Ark to operate, according to his crazy theories. Even other creationists denounce this one as being far gone. I did photograph a steel supposedly describing the problem that Moses had during the wandering the desert with a flock of pterodactyls.
Is that how you say it? Steel, not stele?
Jeez, I always thought it was steel. But you see, this is that problem of words you read but never hear other people pronounce.
Yeah, you're talking about a kind of obelisk-like thing with some glyphs or other designs.
Oh, I could show you. I have the picture.
This is at the Creationist Museum.
Yes, but they have a lot of actual dinosaur fossils and actual historical relics there, but all perverted to their particular purpose.
Well, what happens when there's a Divinosaurus intervention and the stele gets stolen?
There's a huge pterosaur hanging from the ceiling, but what that would be someone who dared to affront the idea, the anti-evolutionary creationist idea.
Like the North Koreans.
Stang told me that there was a rock, gem, and mineral show there, like the one in Tucson, Arizona, and some woman was walking around saying, well, I guess everybody here believes in evolution. I bet there are a lot of people who believe in evolution. And he said, you don't believe in evolution. Either you understand it or you don't. But there actually are a few non-Trumpers around there. Anyway, I was wondering if you got Netflix, because I saw a marvelous movie there, which I would love to see again. I was able to see it because I was at the Stangs, and he has the Netflix, which I do not.
What is it, third body problem?
No, actually, I have read the the first of those three books, although it was some time ago.
Well, it's now a Netflix series.
Yes, I know. Well, this is not a series. It is a movie. Did you ever see the Chernobyl movie? The Chernobyl series?
No.
Oh, too bad. That was quite wonderful. The same person directed this. It's called Spaceman.
Yes.
And has Adam Sandler in it.
Oh, wow.
And Isabella Rossellini. Oh. And another actress who I can't remember at the moment, who plays his angry pregnant wife at home. In this movie, in the near future or wherever, certainly not now, a strange glowing thread appears in the sky. It's actually hundreds of millions of miles away, but it's a phenomenon that's occurred in the outer solar system. Oh. And he's there, sent by Czechoslovakia, to be the first to explore that stuff and maybe take some of it aboard, collect it on his very funky spacecraft.
What sort of stuff is this that is being collected?
An important character explains it later or gives the non-human perspective on it, but I'm...
it's a kind of extraterrestrial ambergris.
Do you hate it when elements of movies are given away? Some people really do, but
even is that called a spoiler?
Yes, but it doesn't spoil anything because you're not reading a movie like a newspaper to find out what happens. You're trying to experience the movie. But if you do object to my giving things away, I
didn't understand enough of it to begin with.
All right,
for
well,
anything to get
I'll
spoiled
tell you the,
per se.
The principal part, and you'll see immediately why it interests me.
Mm-hmm.
He's going out to this cosmic thread thing. It looks like it's called that. It looks, you can see it by day on Earth.
It's a filament.
Yes.
It's a golden filament.
But it's branched and twisted.
Oh, so
but
it's kind of like a mycelial network.
It looks as if it's just, you know, 50 feet up, but it's actually millions of miles away and visible by day and night.
Oh. Well, how is it visible by day or night? By what mechanism
it's
can
luminous,
people see
it? Luminous, but then there is a strange way that it glows, too, because it's not composed of ordinary matter. But this you find out late. Mm-hmm. In fact, it doesn't even refer to it at the beginning. But Isabella Rossellini is in charge of their Czech space program, and she's communicating with the astronaut, and he's perfectly controlled, and he's taking care of everything, but his mind is extremely troubled, even tormented. However, he doesn't show it.
Is that like Solaris, where the characters on the kind of space station are having these hallucinations?
And they actually come into being on the planet's surface below.
I think so. I've read the book
this
a couple years ago.
This is not the same thing, but some critics have seized on this as a solution to the central puzzle of the movie. However, I think they're wrong, and I can explain why. At any rate, they are getting out there in this condition that I described, and they're racing Koreans who are behind them in a Korean spaceship, also trying to get to
North
the thread.
North Koreans?
In this future, they're just referred to as Koreans.
Oh.
He spends his days floating, and when he sleeps, he has to get up because the toilet makes a noise that vibrates the ship, and he has to knock it, and then it stops, and he can go back to sleep. And he complains to ground control about this, but nothing can be done. He's farther away from Earth than anyone ever has been.
Did you see The Tingler?
I am familiar with it.
They have the kind of vibrations in the theater. They had that a long time ago.
They electrified the seats for that movie,
right.
So or some seats, so that some people would get a shock, which was part of William Castle's approach to movies. He had Emergo, where a skeleton on a wire comes out of the screen over the audience's head. He had Projecta Vision, where you have to wear special glasses so you can see the ghosts, but nobody else on screen.
Oh, I didn't know about that.
He did all of these things.
Yeah.
At any rate, in the story I'm trying to tell,
the
astronaut spends his time rehearsing grabbing some of this material with this automatic grabber, and he goes through this procedure and he does it again and again. And then one day, while he's doing it, something looks wrong on his equipment. He gets a reading he can't understand. The next thing you know, somebody's calling his name. Somebody with a gentle, beautiful voice.
A woman?
A giant spider his own size.
Oh.
A black furry spider with an incredible face with six eyes, you know, but they're beautiful. And well, he's beautiful.
Would you go so far as saying the spider is sexy?
In its own way, I don't know if it's a female or a male, and the matter never comes up. The spider also doesn't have a name until he names it. Okay, so some of the critics say he just went crazy in space and he's imagining this. But no, the spider sneezes on him at one point, and he's got spider snot on his helmet that stays there.
I didn't know spiders sneeze.
This is kind of an alien spider. It's clearly a spider, but it's super intelligent, and not only that, humane, and it understands him, and it says, I saw your distress, and I thought I would come here to help you.
What language does it speak?
It is telepathically signaling, and he hears it in the voice of the actor Paul Dano.
Oh, I don't...
Paul Dano was in the thing about the Flower Moon. He was in There Will Be Blood. Are you familiar with those?
Yeah, those should be a double bill, although I don't know that anybody could take all 7 hours or whatever of neo-Western... what's the word I'm looking for? Neo-Western doom and gloom.
True.
Yeah.
The nihilist attitude from an earlier movie era. Yeah. So the spider says, I thought I could come here and help you. And the astronaut says, I don't need any help. And the spider says, but I think you do.
Spider says this.
And the spider can also get into his mind and force him to relive incidents with his wife and this whole problem with his angry wife who won't communicate with him from the ground. And the astronaut says, I don't want to do this. And, well, I think it would be good for you.
Well, that's a very...
You know, and he's having this trippy thing, being forced to confront it. And the spider is doing this.
And the spider is doing this.
The spider is a wonderful... character, and the more you see of it, the more interesting it becomes. Right. At first, he's terrified of it, and he makes ground control squirt poison into it, and you see the spider kind of cower down under it. But then later, the spider says, don't worry, I wasn't harmed by that.
Yeah.
And the spider also sort of snuggles with him up into the front of the spaceship where they're looking. I mean, he's here, the spider is right there, they're touching, and pretty soon they're crawling over each other. The spaceship is...
kind of spider interspecies spider human love scene.
He's catching the spider in the bathroom all the time mistake by opening the door.
What does the spider do in the bathroom?
I don't know. The astronaut urinates into this cup, but the spider seems to be holding it.
And there's space and there's gravity?
They are in no gravity, microgravity.
So they're
floating around.
I see.
Because
I thought the urine could float around in that condition.
That's why there's a cup on the end of a tube, so it doesn't float around.
It doesn't do that. And they have a kind of peristaltic pump or something that takes
something,
the
urine away. But the spider finds it interesting or uses it for some odd purpose of its own. It's never explained.
How long does the spider scene go on?
The whole movie.
The entire movie.
The rest of it. They get to the thread. They leave the ship. They're out in the thread. You know, they're experiencing
the threads. So it's actually the thread is what's produced by the spider. So it's like...
No, the spider also came to study the thread.
Oh.
The spider said, I'm a space traveler like you, and I came here to examine this, but I can tell you what it is. This is part of the primordial essence that created the universe.
I see.
Everything is possible in there. And sure enough, when they get in there, he's like in some Edenic world, though still in his space suit.
So this is a kind of undifferentiated tissue of creation.
I would tell you more, but it would be very unfair to the plot. But you must acknowledge this is an unusual movie, and it's extremely
well
acted.
Your description of it sounds unusual. Yeah.
Agree. Just like it visually, because this creature is so graceful and beautiful in its own way.
And this is a 3D modeled rendering, or is a puppet, or a stop action?
It must
action?
Be some kind of computer animation or something. Uh-huh. It's absolutely lifelike.
I see.
And and has a lot of personality.
Oh.
And he, you know, he wakes up and it's hovering over him and he says, you know, this room is off limits to you. But he gets used to it. And he, at first he says the bathroom is off limits to it. But then later he says, I guess this room isn't off limits to you.
Right.
But the spider starts to get angry with him and says, I'm sorry, I'm even investigating you. You're a worthless person. You were mean to your wife. You know, I'm abandoning this case. I'm going to leave, you know. And he does. And then the astronaut feels all more desolated than ever. And he says, come back, Hamush. The name of the spider is
Hamush. The spider's name is Hamush.
He named it himself. The spider didn't have a name. And the spider calls him Skinny Human. You know, a skinny human, do you have anything to eat
does
here?
The spider actually have an individual ego? Or is the spider somehow just part of a
greater collective?
The
spider gets angry if it's touched in the wrong way. And it menacingly moves its body up and its face is right here at his and says, our tribe does not like to be touched on the front of the body.
Tribe. There's a spider tribe.
He's talking, it's his translation, meaning our kind, our race.
Our kin.
But then later on, there's a reconciliation where Sandler has his arms around the spider and is hugging it, and it's got its legs around him and is hugging it.
Remind me of what Adam Sandler is best known for?
For horrible movies full of fart jokes and crude humor.
Huh? Which one? I don't know. I thought. Doesn't he do kind of little documentary programs?
No, he does not.
Who am I thinking of?
But he's become more of a serious actor. No, Adam Sandler has always been a popular, grossly popular comedian.
Did he ever do stand-up?
He may have before he got into the movie. The question was, did he ever do stand-up? The multiple microphones aren't possible on this the way the Rob explained it to me. There can only be one guest mic and this mic.
Well, I mean, Doug here is welcome to take this mic if he wants to have something to say. I can continue. I'm just acting as a kind of foil.
Can you guys on the chatterbox actually hear this? Are we actually going out? It's always ambiguous there as I read it. It sometimes looks as if they might be able to hear. But all I can tell would be if VJ Pussycat would react to it
now,
or somebody.
Hal, not long ago you told me that there is a spate, a kind of bumper crop of spider films that are coming out right now. And
they are all coming out at the same time.
Yeah,
and like, the reason is that sometimes Hollywood studios hear about what other studios are doing, and
they all
different. And there's no movie like this where a character that might be minted for horror becomes like an angelic presence in the story.
I see.
I really liked it, but it's not for everybody. And many online writing about it just hate it and they say, I don't see why this thing was even made.
And this was a Netflix production.
It is. It will be in theaters, but it's if you have Netflix, you can see it.
Well, these computer-based, like Netflix and other things, I'm not saying anything particularly new, but they're allowing a lot of, unusual stuff to be presented that otherwise, in my opinion, wasn't making its way to the public.
Right.
So this spider film sounds like it fits into that category. It's rather idiosyncratic.
Well, by the same director, I recommend the Chernobyl series, which is more than one. It isn't a complete movie like this is, but it's the whole story of the Chernobyl disaster from scientific, humanist, biological, political, every angle and viewpoint.
Okay, I'll have to look for that as well.
It's got the human tragedy, and it's got amazing things you never heard of either that, you know, come with the full coverage of the
well,
disaster.
The thing that I always hear about Chernobyl is how it has become an unwitting nature preserve. And
well, they send people in with guns to kill those dogs and other things that survived the people.
So,
because they don't want the radioactive animals running around.
Radioactive animals.
But now maybe they're not doing that anymore, and a lot of it is overgrown. You know, nature has grown back, radiation or not. The right. humans have abandoned the area.
Right. Well, did the film The Stalker, was that made after Chernobyl took place, or was
no,
it before?
No, that was made before.
That's what I thought.
Decades before, I think.
Not decades, but it was made in the 70s, I think.
Yes, but Chernobyl was made only,
took place in the 80s.
Pete Goldie saw it, so it was maybe made in 2010 or 14. Time moves so fast. Something that seems recent turns out to be farther down in the time column than one would suppose.
Right. So, speaking of farther down in the time column, it's...
For you mean?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I can't control your volume, I believe, but I hope that you're satisfied with the loudness in your own headphones.
I can hear myself, if that's the question.
It's
I hear myself loud
thing.
And clear.
If this is, we're actually getting recorded, and this is not going into vacancy, as one might have supposed. My only concern is that no listener can hear anything at all, because I had to turn Robo DJ down. If I turned it up, it would be the background to our...
To tell you all his...
Oh, and in fact, it's a show of mine, which I could be playing like so.
With imaginary characters who he puts in some stress or problems.
Now we can talk over my show if you want to do it. It won't be heard by them, but at least they get to listen to something.
And now you're just reading prose.
You know, this could have something to do with...
Albert, I don't care, because I could be this interesting guy talking about Paul. But he's over there.
Well, he's there, so you can talk about Pulps.
Pulps were great.
Because everybody read, and there were so many different things like railroad stories and so forth. That's
why
a whole,
is that funny? That's like Guam story.
Because it's so specialized. But it was could support a whole class of readers, and Western stories, so science fiction, spicy Western stories, you know, all these categories.
Yeah. There we go. Hey, it's Abraham Bob.
They called him Nabob.
If the head fits. Oh.
As it said in the Book of Scullions, Nahab went into under Fetnah, and he did wax wroth in the valley of Edom, where is Bdellium
like,
and the onyx stone.
Was it the bloody head of Arnold Palmer and heads figured in? And also we had here on the West Coast many years ago,
and
Harry Hughes was really impressed. I think he'd broken up with this woman he really loved. And
Howard
Hughes? No, Gary Hughes, the guitar player in my band. And the band that dare not speak its name. And so down in those days, the mudflats off Berkeley had all kinds of art in there.
I used to love that when I was a kid.
Yeah, and we'd go down and build and
so
stuff.
Far,
and somebody made a huge, it's like twice the size of this desk.
My hidest head, I face from
ugly
me.
Big head. So it became, we wrote songs about it, and I cut it off. And went to Gary's house, and we put it on his back porch.
The wicked boast.
And then I called him, which meant
desire.
In those days he had to go find a phone.
And bless
him. I said,
the
I really wanted to cheer you up,
Lord,
man. So I left
hateth.
A big bleeding head on your porch. And he didn't believe me for a while. And finally talked to me and went out there. And then he laughed and laughed. And it broke up Gary's bad feelings about his bad breakup. Big head's function. Yeah, sir. Subgenius. Because he is a head. Just a little guy. Little, dot head guy, so it's always sort of been emphasis on head.
The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not at all in his thoughts.
Did you go to your travels?
His
ways
are always
monsoon season places.
Thy judgments
I have
are
lived
far
in such
above,
places.
Out of his sight.
And my most.
Which is what time of year?
Well, it's. Are you getting me onto the radio again?
Yeah, please.
All right, well, my most monsoon adventure was when I...
As for all his enemies...
...lived on a tiny island in the...
They puffeth at him.
...off the coast of southern Thailand in the area known as Trong. If I can even say that right. But Trong is
rural part of southern Thailand, getting close to the Malaysian border, and it has beachfront on both the Gulf of Siam and in the Andaman Sea. And off of the Truong coast on the Andaman Sea, there's a little tiny island called Koh Mook. And Koh means island, and Mook, I think, maybe refers to the room, the cave that is in the coast of the island. It's a collapsed sea cave, so the water comes in and there's an interior beach. So there's a number of these kind of things because there's limestone formations throughout southern Thailand, and those are called the karsts, and the karsts, they will collapse and they'll be near the ocean, and so then there will be an internal beach within a cave. It's quite a magical place.
Yes. Wouldn't necessarily want to hang out there, but
what's
yes.
That?
You wouldn't necessarily want to hang out there, but yes, it would be a magical place.
Well, that is part of my story, actually, because I went out to the island of Koh Mook, and I found for myself a little beach hut, and it happened that the place was empty and there was nobody there. First, when I arrived, I was looking through the locked doors of the different beach huts, but that was after I had spied on a woman for some time who was sitting on a rock, and I was very excited about her, very intrigued about her, until finally I came up close enough, kind of sneaking up on her, to find out that she is a statue of a mermaid in traditional Thai regalia.
And you said,
and then
statue?
That was a good omen, though, for me, and I found my place where I could stay, an open hut that wasn't locked up. And as I fell asleep, being quite tired after having swam and taken a boat ride and be fallen in love with a statue and all sorts of things happening during the day, I fell asleep. But in the middle of the night, I heard what anybody in their right mind should be disturbed by if they hear in the middle of the night, which is the sound of a shovel. Somebody digging with a shovel in the dark of night.
Yes.
And I am all by myself, and I don't know who else might be at this place. There's no hotel staff. There's nobody near this place. I'm just by the ocean, and I hear this digging, and I thought, well, and I hear voices speaking in Thai in hushed tones to one another, and I think, well, there might be something really horrible going on there. After all, they're digging at 2 or 3 in the morning, and so, but finally I went back to sleep, and I heard voices again after I woke up when the sun was up, and I went outside, and there were a number of novitiates, who are young men who in Thailand take temporary vows to live as monks, and this is part of their upbringing in the Theravada Buddhism of Thailand, is that the young men have to wander about in the red robes of the Thai monk, and they beg and they do various public services, and that's called a novitiate. So there are these
teenagers. They get to wear the, pardon me for breaking in, but they get to wear the robe that the senior monks wear?
Well, it's novitiates? Very similar, and they have a similarly tonsured head. Should I say tonsured? The shaven heads.
In other words, they're proto-monks who will eventually become full-fledged senior monks.
Some of them may become that. Others simply go through it as a part of their upbringing as a Thai person.
So you can quit any time?
You go through your prescribed period, and then you can rejoin with regular life, or you can choose to continue on to be an actual monk. That's my understanding of it. And so there were three of these young men who were in their novitiate period, and I came out, and there was also a young guy who was the manager of this beachfront homestay hut thing going on, and he was giving the space for these monks to stay there. And I came out, and he spoke a little bit of English, and he asked me what I was doing there, and I said, well, I've come here to meditate. And then he laughed, and he said, well, then you're a monk, too. And so...
You're among monks.
Yeah, so I was there amongst these monks, and I don't know what they were digging up in the middle of the night, but I befriended
Better
them.
Better not ask.
Yeah, I befriended them, and
I really dig you guys. I mean, that is to say.
Yes, right, and I befriended them, and I took a marvelous photograph, which I think I have now, not with me, of one of them posed by lantern light with a gigantic hermit crab. Wow. And, wow. Yes, there were hermit crabs that lived on the beach there, and in fact... I did something quite naughty with the hermit crabs because I wrote, this was back in 2001 when Osama bin Laden was still quite a commodity, mm-hmm. and I drew a little, the crabs were changing shells, which is something I had always wanted to see, is hermit crabs changing their shells on a full moon. And these were big hermit crabs, and they had a wide range of large shells to choose from, yet I had... painted on the side of one of the shells a portrait of Osama bin Laden. And so the hermit crab actually chose the Osama bin Laden shell and went cruising away. This is kind of before the days when I would have a cell phone. And so any rate, this is kind of an extended story. Well, different things happened. And one of the things that happened was that I would stay in my hut, and then during the day, I was making elaborate drawings of a scorpion entwining an embryo, contemplating a jewel in a kind of exploding spacescape. So I was making this very intricate drawing with this bejeweled scorpion, and it had been the case that... Earlier in my trip in Thailand, well, this brings up a little limerick that I wrote that goes, there once was a shaman from Leeds, well known for his magical deeds. Barefoot he went all through the Orient, not stepping on centipedes. Hmm. So, yeah, because I had been in Bangkok and it was very late at night. And I used to stay near an old Thai fortress that was on the banks of one of the canals that was bordering the tourist mecca of Bonglampu. And I was coming back from whatever I had been doing in Bonglampu until 2 or 3 in the morning. And I see somebody in the park on the pathway, and he has all kinds of toys and rubble and all manner of bric-a-brac all scattered around him in a geometric circle. And he's got all sorts of different toys tied to him. And he has his glasses on, which have geometric patterns painted onto them. And he is moving very slowly with all of his stuff within his circle in some kind of ritual. And I come up to the circle and I begin to just watch him there, standing there silently, and he doesn't notice me for what seems like a long time, until finally he stops and I ask him, well, what are you doing? And he says, well, he's a British guy. He says, well, I'm a shaman. And he explained to me that he was from Leeds and there really wasn't much call for shamans, and that he had therefore decided to walk all the way through Thailand from the Malaysian border barefoot. And he's all the way up in Bangkok. And is yes, and as he's explaining all this to me, a gigantic red centipede. You know those type of red centipedes,
yes,
that they have?
Huge,
yes,
enormous.
8 or 9 inches long, drops out of his pants and goes walking away. And at that point, when I saw that happen, and he does not even miss a beat, like,
did he know it was?
He continues to tell me his story about how he can call lightning out of the sky, and little children love him, but cops hate him. And, you know, this is typically, that's how it goes, is the little kids love you and the cops hate you. And well, I'm just agog as I decided from that moment, well, this guy must be the real McCoy. He said he's a shaman. Well, anybody that can have one of those inside of his pants and does not twitch, does not flinch, does not freak out, and even after the thing...
And does not get bitten.
And does not get bitten either. Well, so... getting back to my own story, fast forward, I'm on this island, and it's the middle of the night. I'm in my hut. I had been sleeping when I thought I was aware of something in the crotch of my pants.
Uh-oh.
And And I thought to myself, oh no, maybe I'm a shaman after all. It could be worse. Is I'm a. That's the clue. Yeah.
Nobody tells you. A shaman that's after what you all.
So I thought, because there's something in my pants, and so then
Mike Pence.
This was the very night that I had finished drawing the scorpion. And I thought there was something in my pants. I thought it was a centipede. So I thought, well, I don't want to get bitten. It's right underneath the family jewels. And so I very carefully planned this out, that I would grab the swim trunks that I was wearing and pinch whatever it was and pull the swim trunks off as quickly as I could. And so I did this, and I felt whatever it was squirming in my between my thumb and my finger within the swim trunks, and I put the swim trunks down beside me, and I lit my lantern, and there was a red scorpion just sitting there. And it had been it had found the warmest place possible. But I always thought it was strange, because I had just finished making an elaborate drawing of a scorpion, and there was the scorpion. Yes. And here was something in my pants, just like, and I thought, oh, how strange. Well, that's finally cool. I'd wanted to go to the cave. I wanted to go to this particular cave, and the guy who ran the tours was a gay Thai guy, and it seemed to me that he wanted to take me on the boat alone, and he kept sort of trying to make a pass at me. So I said, well, I don't want to get on this boat with this guy. It's just awkward and uncomfortable. We're not on the same page about this. And so I decided I would just swim out there. And I really didn't have any idea. Hard to say, probably between a kilometer and a mile. And I was just swimming along the cliff face. You swim out of the harbor and then around, and then it becomes a cliff face. And I've got my snorkel, and I was in pretty good shape then, because I kept swimming. And then I found the entrance. And I got to the entrance. There was the ocean coming into this cave, and the cave was about 10 feet tall, and you could see two pads. And I thought to myself, and the sea is just pounding into either one of these two chambers, and I thought, and they're both just dark going in, and I thought, well, which one of these is the right one? Because one of them leads to the interior beach, and people swim into it safely. And the other one maybe also does the same thing, but then again, perhaps it's completely deadly to swim into that one.
Yeah, one is officers, one is enlisted. Like on Saipan, we had the same, the Japanese had the same things happening along cliff faces, secret beaches.
Yeah. So I just kind of treaded water there for a little bit, and I thought to myself, stay to the left. Stay to the left. So that's what I did. And I went and started swimming through the darkness of the cave. And then suddenly the light broke through. And suddenly there was, I could put my head up and get air again.
Yeah.
And there's this gorgeous inner paradise.
In the dark?
In the cave.
The beach inside the cave.
Yeah, there's a beach inside the cave, because the roof of the cave has collapsed. And so many, for who knows how long, thousands or hundreds of thousands of years, there's been this ecosystem within that cave.
Right.
And so I sat down at the beach within the cave, and I began to just daydream and rest. And I noticed after, I think, 3 or 4 hours had passed, that there was really quite a bit more water coming up, that the tide was coming in significantly.
How big is the entrance to the area?
Well, the entrance that you swim through,
if
I recall correctly, was maybe 5 or 6 feet in.
Nice, yeah.
Yeah, and then, so I said, wait a second, the tide's really coming in. Right. So I said, I gotta go. What am I doing? I can't stay here this long. It's gonna get dark. Mm-hmm. And so I went and I swam back out and I looked at that same entrance that had been 10 feet and there was like maybe 3 feet clearance now. Tried to come in a good 7 feet while I was relaxing on the beach. Well, I said, okay, so sun's going down now and I've got to swim a mile or something back to the harbor. And I began to swim. That was a really interesting thing at that point was that a little orange, almost like a clownfish, the kind of coral reef orange fish. Maybe it was a clownfish.
Did it have white stripes? And
just like three, just ahead of me. Uh-huh. And it swam all the way back. It led me back to the harbor. And it began to get dark as I was swimming. When I got to the harbor, the very last rays of sunlight were there. And there were some Thai fishermen in a boat. And they saw me swimming in. And they were yelling. They're concerned about me. I think they were genuinely like, what's this guy doing? We need to rescue him. And I just kind of shooed them off as I could and got to the shore and was in. But as soon as the fish was aware of those fishermen, it just swam away.
Yeah.
And it had brought me all the way back, though. And finally, I was there on land, on the harbor. I pretty much collapsed in exhaustion and had to scoop myself up after some rest and make my way back to my hut. But it was so nice staying at that. And the entire trip, I stayed about 1 month until finally the monsoon that you asked about to begin with began to get so rough that I couldn't stay there any longer. The weather was just too bad. But before that, I would swim into the coral reef and dive and check out the different fishes and corals. And each day I would walk down to the market, the traditional Thai market, and I would buy the fresh crab that they had caught and steam the crab, buy some curry.
Highly esteemed crab.
Dip the crab in Thai curry sauce with some steamed rice and dine like a king.
Yeah.
So, and all that cost me $15 for the month, I think. Yeah,
you got chipped.
I know. My only expense. And that's not even including the psychedelic mushrooms that I would find in the cow pasture. Yeah. So, you know, it was great. I pick Copalandia cyanescens or psilocybe cyanescens mushrooms from the cow patties and eat them in my hut and had tremendous visions. And wow. It was great. Yeah. Solitary. The whole month just by myself, I was, you know, just me and the fish and the monitor lizards, gigantic monitor lizards.
I've had similar experiences with fish, and mostly giant fish. And so I used to snorkel in the mouth of Pearl Harbor.
Oh, good.
And because our house was right, around Point Kamehameha, and it was just hammerheads eating pork chops and cigarette butts because you could still dump into the ocean at that time. Wow. So there wasn't much. It wasn't like everywhere, you know, it wasn't trash. But I remember seeing cigarette butts and thinking,
well,
these guys are fat and happy. They were like swimming around dinosaurs, you know, they were just slow, happy little.
Who, the hammerheads?
The hammerheads, yeah. They're quite gorgeous to watch. And
well, I've made a couple of different paintings that prominently feature sharks. And yeah, so in the process of rendering sharks, I've tried to get the teeth right and to understand how their mouths should be open. And there's a lot to know about them, actually. And so I've read a bit. And one of the things that I read is that in shark attacks, like great white shark attacks, the reason that somebody gets attacked is that they're in the feeding territory of the shark, and the shark objects to the swimmer's presence and doesn't want them there. And what the great white will do is swim directly at a person or something in its territory, another animal perhaps, because to you, they're just, you know, to them, I think you're just another animal in the wrong place at the wrong time. So they swim at the person with their mouth open and then kind of go right by. And then they'll do that two or three times as though, well, this whoever this is should get the warning. I'm barreling right at them with my mouth open, but I'm not biting. And but this is a warning, you know, like a dog growling kind of. So they do that. And if somebody is just so oblivious that they don't notice that there is a angry shark swimming by repeatedly, then finally the shark says, all right, they're not taking me seriously. I'm going to bite.
Right.
That's what
hey,
I read.
Rob, you want to keep it down? We're doing a show here.
I'm trying. I mean, you know.
You're really blowing this.
Well, kind of.
Any rate, enough about...
What about my move?
What about John Hell's feelings?
Yeah. Did you want to talk about sharks that much?
I am interested in the subject.
Yeah, we all love
them. And I showed you. I've been painting them.
They were because the Hawaiians had deals with the shark gods. And when you were mentioning earlier something about one of the... Some part of
the... She gods of shark reef. Toxic sludge. Danger.
It's now a super fun site.
Evidently... In Bali, they're having terrible problems with the beach in Kuta and Legian, which are the popular, most popular tourist beaches of Bali.
What kind of problems?
With pollution. There's horrible amounts of trash washing up on shore. It's a kind of a seasonal thing, it seems, but I think it's not only coming from the island of Bali itself, but I think is maybe from the current,
what is the
current flowing. Well, it's present because I was reading articles about it. And if the pictures are true and they're not AI or otherwise altered or manipulated photographs, it shows beaches just piled. If you were to walk through it, it'd be piled up to your ankles with garbage. It was a horrible, horrible sight. Because those are beautiful beaches and it's a gorgeous ocean there, but the Indonesian, I'm sorry.
When I first got on the internet, first thing I ever typed in was the grotto on Saipan, which is, you were talking about the beaches Saipan. Earlier.
Grotto? It's,
yeah, on same thing, on Saipan, it's a long island, and at the north end is where the Japanese forces held out, yeah, so Saipan. I'd go up there and hang out, and but there was same kind of, it was like a
Saipan is near Guam.
Yeah, it's at the other end of the archipelago, kind of. Yeah. And there was just a big bubble of air, and the top of that bubble, maybe three stories up, had fallen, and that was the rubble that you now on the ground level climb down. In the old days, climb down the rubble with your tanks, and the sea is just coming up and down because it's just forced into from below. You could see the sharks down there circling, and that water was kind of like a toilet moving that up and down.
Sharks in the toilet, eh?
Way down. Yeah.
In toilet sharks.
So I took mescaline to the
shark
scent, and that's where my astronauts show up. They didn't give us a ride. I was on Saipan when they brought in Apollo 17, so that's why I was thinking of astronauts and that stuff.
Well, I mean, my trips were terrestrial.
Nice. And, except for the mushroom. But.
Well, I did meet Beelzebub, I think it was. I think he introduced himself as Beelzebub, as I recollect, when I was taking the mushrooms. And that did involve flying around.
The Lord of the Flies.
Well, yes, and he took me flying as well.
This is really happening, folks.
Okay. All right, we're hooking up to the system.
You may be frightened, but please try to control yourself. Try not to respond in any way to any of these sounds, noises, or words on this program. Please, please remain calm. Please, please, please remain calm. Please, please. Please remain calm, please. Please. Please remain calm, please. Please. Please remain calm, please. Please. Please remain calm, please.
Oh, but that's what
sir. Please. Please remain calm. Please. 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 Please remain calm. Please. Please. Please remain calm. Please. Carriage. This is really happening, folks.
Alright, we're hooking you up to the system.
You may be frightened, but please try to control yourself.
Okay.
Try not to respond in any way to any of these sounds, noises, or words on this program. Please, please remain calm. Please, 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 please, please remain calm. Please.
Oh, but that's what
sir. Please, please remain calm. Please, please, please.
But that's what
sir. Please, please remain calm. Please, please, please remain calm. Please.
Message.
This is really happening, folks.
Okay. All right, we're hooking you up to the system.
You may be frightened, but please try to control yourself.
Okay.
Try not to respond in any way to any of these sounds, noises, or words on this program. Please, please remain calm. Please, please, please remain calm. Please, please. Please remain calm. Please, please, please remain calm. Please, please, please remain calm. Please, please, please remain calm. Please.
Oh, but that's what
sir. Please, please remain calm. Please, please.
But that's what
sir,
I
sir. Please, please remain calm. Please, please, please remain calm. Please.
Carriage. Message.
We're that? Watching you through the podcast. We can see okay, you're holding it in your hand. Calm, please.
Sir, we're
watching you through the podcast. We can see you're holding it in your hand. Calm, please.
Sir, we're
watching you through the podcast. We can see you're holding it in your hand. Calm, please.
Sir, we're
watching you through the podcast. We can see you're holding it in your hand. This is really happening.